Well, I shared a few things earlier, and I'm wondering if there's somebody who has been giving it any thought of what God has been doing in your life, and you just said, I just got to share that now. I just can't hold it back. I know one person came to me a little bit ago and said, I don't like to speak in public, but maybe you could mention to me that, talking about marriage and all that earlier, that he said that he and Norm and Wendy have been engaged, and so we want to congratulate them. And we're excited that they met here a few years back, and not too long ago, but a few years anyway. And God has been doing some work in their lives, and we're just thrilled for you, Norman and Wendy, the real Norman, and the real Wendy, for that matter. Right on. God bless you both. Anybody else have a thought to share? I should mention that Heather and I will be going on our vacation here shortly. This is something that we've kind of been planning for about 8 months now. And we're heading off on Saturday morning. We'll be back on the 30th of the month. And so we appreciate your prayers for us. And we thank you for that opportunity that we have to go and to be blessed and to enjoy that kind of time together. This morning, I want to talk a little bit about names. Names are very special, or at least they can be special. They have a special significance, at least they often do. One of my children has often been fascinated by names. And, it just happened to be a book of baby names, and it was kind of odd to see her walking around with a book of baby names under her arm for so long, but, there was nothing being planned there. It was just the names that fascinated her, and names can be very fascinating. For example, did you know that the name Sarkis means a shepherd or protector, eh? Isn't that great? And there you go. I believe that sometimes names are reflective of the character of the one being named. For example, many of you know that we had Frisky. Frisky was a beautiful little pup, and she was indeed very frisky for many years of her life. It was only when she got older and calloused eyes, cataract eyes, that she wasn't quite so frisky. And then we had Blackie, right? I mean, that's pretty descriptive of her name. And of course, it was a little easy to figure that one out. But once in a while, we get names wrong. Case in point is Keisha. Yeah, Keisha. I don't know what Keisha means, but I think we got that wrong. Unless somehow in some language, Keisha means, little hissing terror from the dark. Then we might have had it right. Yeah. Wow. Scary things happen in our household. This morning I want to speak about a name that is above all names. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. We sung about the name of Jesus already a few times this morning. It all started, of course, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and told him that Mary was going to have a baby. A very unusual baby, and I'm sure you remember the story. The angel was very specific. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the angel said, "You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." There was to be no mistake about the name. When the angel came to Joseph and said that Mary was going to have a child, The angel didn't say you could name the baby Tom, Dick, or Harry, or George, or Harold, or whatever else. It was Jesus. It was very specific because Jesus means God's salvation or Savior, the one who saves. And so that's why the angel said, you will give him the name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And so we sing lots of songs that have to do with the name of Jesus. It's important to us. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Or take the name of Jesus with you. How about, Lord, I lift your name on high. Precious name, oh, how sweet. Or Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior. His name is wonderful. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. And there is. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. We're going to look through the book of Acts and see just how important the name of Jesus was and still is today. Now remember, when we look in our Bible, and that's what we're going to be doing in a moment, we're looking at something that is God-breathed. The Bible isn't just somebody's creative ingenious. It is the God-breathed, inspired Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is God-breathed, or in other words, inspired by God Himself, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And that's the privilege we have. To read God's Word. If you are not reading God's Word, you're missing out on something special, something that can be life-changing. We're going to do that, beginning with Acts chapter 2. If you have your Bible and you turn to Acts chapter 2, you'll see the Holy Spirit has come on the day of Pentecost. Peter had preached a message in which some 3,000 people had responded. It was an amazing message, a moving message. The Holy Spirit was there. The Holy Spirit brought conviction. God's presence was there profoundly. And verse 37 says, when the people heard this, when they heard the message from Peter, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do to be saved? What shall we do? Peter's response was, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins. It's interesting that Peter specifies that they need to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. What exactly does that mean? What is he getting at? And it simply means that a person is being changed, is being touched through the authority of Jesus Christ, or under the authority of Jesus Christ. In other words, the one who repents or the one who is baptized does so under the power, under the authority of Jesus, not their own. When we baptize here at the church, and we'd love to do some more anytime, we don't baptize in the name of the preacher. It's not the preacher, it's Jesus who does the work. It's Jesus who has brought repentance and healing and wholeness. It's Jesus who has the authority to change a life. Not me, not the next person, but Jesus. And so Peter says, when the people were convicted, what shall we do? He says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, under the authority of Jesus. And what Peter is doing is he's drawing attention away from himself and he's pointing to the one who has the power to save. He's pointing to the one who has the power to change lives. That's what we've been talking about the last few weeks here in church too. God's power to change lives. It is exciting when we see God's work changing lives. When we gather together for prayer, we're praying that God would change lives. And that's what's happening. And Peter is pointing to the one who can change lives. It was Peter who was doing the preaching. He was the one who got up in front of the crowd. He was the one who had to stand there. But it was Jesus who does the saving. It was Jesus who does the changing in our hearts and in our lives. And the response that day, according to verse 41, it says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000. Well, I'll be honest with you. I get excited when one or two at a time come to know the Lord. I get tremendously excited. I don't know what would happen if I saw 3,000 come to the Lord in one day. I think you might have to take me away some, you know. I'd fall over. I don't know. It'd be wonderful, right? That's what the Scripture says happened on that great day when the Holy Spirit came and people's lives were touched under the authority of Jesus Christ. Well, it didn't end there, and that's a nice thing. When you go to Acts chapter 3, you find some more incredible things happening through the authority in the name of Jesus. It starts with a crippled man, a man who was begging at the temple. A good place to be if you had to beg, because you'd get a lot of attention and kind of hard to avoid a person who's right there. Peter comes along, Acts chapter 3, and he sees the beggar. Now, most people, and maybe I'm talking about myself, I don't know, maybe I don't want to admit it, but most people, they try to avoid eye contact with somebody who is different, somebody who, you know, you just know they're going to ask for your help. You could see them from, you know, two blocks away, and you just know they're going to ask you something, and you really don't want to be bothered for whatever reason. And you try to avoid eye contact. And Peter comes along and he sees this beggar, and while most of us would try to avoid eye contact, not Peter. He does the opposite. Instead of trying to get away from him, he demands eye contact. Look at this here in Acts chapter 3. Then Peter looked straight at him. I love that, how he looked straight at him. There's no mistake here. Then Peter said, look at us. It's as if the guy was not wanting to look in his direction. And then look at what happened next. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Wow. Friends, that is powerful. Peter coming to that man, looking at him, commanding him to look back at him and saying, I don't have what you think you need, but I do have, or at least I know the one who has what you really need. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Not because I'm some great guy, not because I have the power to heal, not because I've anything else, but in the name of Jesus Christ, walk. And if you've read Acts 3 before, and I'm sure many of you have, you will know that instantly the man jumped to his feet. Instantly. It wasn't a gradual thing, you know, oh, I feel a little bit better today, and oh, the next day I feel a little bit better, and I might be able to get up on my knees, and maybe today I can put a little weight on my foot with some crutches, and after, you know, 4 months or 6 months, hey, I'm able to walk now. Isn't that great? That's not what happened. Now, God could have worked that way, and you know, God does work that way at times, and that's wonderful. It really is. But in this particular case, in this time, for God's reasons, it says that the man instantly jumped to his feet. I just love how the Bible puts it. It just emphasizes God's healing touch so strongly so that there is absolutely no doubt where this came from. This was no trick. God did something instantly. The man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and he began to walk. You can't beat that. Well, the people, when they saw this, when they saw what happened, they were amazed, and rightly so. You could probably take, the scripture says that they were amazed, you could probably take that to mean, you know, in today's language, that their jaws dropped, you know, their mouths hung open. You know, like, here's the guy that they've seen, they've walked by for weeks and months and years in the same position, and all of a sudden they see the guy jumping to his feet. I'm sure that their mouths were sort of left hanging. And they began to look at Peter. Now, this is the interesting part. They started to look at Peter and wonder, who is this guy? Wow, what is he able to do? And they begin to look at Peter and they begin to wonder about what kind of great power this man has. And I really love how Peter puts it down in verse 12. He says, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk?" In other words, I didn't do anything. What are you looking at me for? It wasn't Peter. The healing didn't come from any power that Peter possessed. He goes on to explain in verse 16, "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong." And then, just to make sure there's no misunderstanding, he says, "It is in Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see." Check it out yourself. Didn't come from me, Peter says, but Jesus. Wow. Well, you would think this was a good thing, and it was. But apparently for some people, it wasn't very good news. At least not from the perspective of the religious leaders of their day who heard what had happened. And you know what? They were not thrilled. You'd think everybody would be happy. But the people who would exercise power and control of the temple area and what is right and what can happen and what they need to do, they didn't like the idea that Peter had come and told a guy that he can walk in the name of Jesus. How do you like that? Peter does something good, and he gets tossed in jail for it. That's what happened. They hauled him off to jail because he had helped a man to walk. I don't know how I would like it if I do something helpful and then you get in trouble for it. The next day, they hauled him out and began questioning them. "By what power or what name did you do this?" Peter, who had absolutely no sense of political correctness, he tells them exactly what they don't want to hear. "Know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified," by the way, you know, "whom you crucified, but God raised from the dead, it is in the name of Jesus Christ that this man stands before you healed. And what Peter is saying, again, is he's saying that the healing has taken place through the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. And then he goes on. And this is the best part, perhaps. Verse 12, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. The name of Jesus is so powerful. It is through the power and authority of Jesus that the man could be healed, that men could repent, that men could be baptized, and it is under the power and authority of Jesus through which we find salvation. You don't get saved because you follow me. You don't get saved because you follow Pastor Clayton. You might enjoy a hockey game or two, but you don't get saved. You get saved by the power in the name of Jesus, under the authority of Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important that whenever we preach the gospel, we preach Christ crucified and risen from the dead. Peter said it well. It is by the name of Jesus, whom you crucified, but God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. There is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. Powerful. We see another power, example of the power of the name of Jesus as we go through Acts in the book of Acts chapter 16. And in this case, if we can flip over a little bit, we see Paul and Silas were going about preaching and telling people about Jesus. And again, good things were happening. And again, when good things are happening and God's people are doing what they're supposed to be doing, they run into some trouble. And on their way to a place of prayer, a woman who was a fortune teller started following Paul and Silas and was mocking them loudly. These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. Verse 18 says, she kept this up for many days. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd find that a little annoying after a while. And sure enough, Paul had enough of it. And verse 18 says, finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the Spirit, not to the lady, not to the woman, because the problem wasn't the woman. The problem was the Spirit that was within her. And said to the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And at that moment, the Spirit left her. I don't know what's more amazing, you know, seeing that crippled man jump to his feet or this woman released from bondage of that spirit. Not only do people find repentance in the name of Jesus and are baptized, they are healed. We find that they are also released from bondage, spiritual bondage, in the name of Jesus or under the authority of Jesus, through the power of Jesus. The name of Jesus is indeed very powerful. We have that authority. We have that right to call upon that authority. But there's one other very important aspect of the name of Jesus that we need to understand. And that's the fact that the name of Jesus is not some kind of magical formula that we recite in order to make sure we get things the way we want. In other words, the name of Jesus can't be used just as a magic wand, you know, and just have whatever you want, anytime you want, the way you want, for your own purposes. It doesn't work that way. Another way to put it is simply this: invoking the name of Jesus without adopting the heart and mind of Jesus is not going to get you anywhere. calling upon the name of Jesus without personally being under submission under that authority is not going to help. We see this in Acts chapter 19, verse 13. It says, some Jews who went out around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Well, this didn't go over very well, and I'm not going to read the whole story for you, but if you have time this afternoon, check it out, Acts chapter 19. It did not go very well for these people who were trying to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus to make a show of themselves, and so on and so forth. The point again, calling on the authority of Jesus isn't going to help if we don't have Jesus as our Lord, as our Savior. That's the bottom line. As followers of Christ, that's the key part, as followers of Christ, as those who have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, as we sang right at the beginning of the service, we have the privilege of calling upon the authority that is given to us under the name of Jesus Christ. The authority to be saved, the authority to be healed, the authority to be released from bondage. As Jesus said in John 14, you may ask anything, you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Indeed, there is a name above all other names. Philippians 2, verses 9 to 11 sums it up well. Therefore, God exalted him, Jesus, to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And we, friends, have the privilege of bowing our knees to Jesus today, calling upon him to work in our lives. And as we confront the issues of life, we can do so under the authority, under the banner of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. That, friends, is our privilege. If you don't have that privilege, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I encourage you to talk to myself or one of the others this after the service and know that you can have that authority under the name of Jesus. It's not from us. It's not us, but it's Jesus. He can save. He can heal. He could release from bondage. He could do wonderful things. But we need to bow our hearts to him. And I pray that we will all do that today.